that's supposed to be a bunch of Google, like Windows, the school, school.
Thank you, Chairperson. What I observed is, first let me explain the rule as it is. When a bill has been passed or rejected during the session in any year, no bill of same substance may be introduced in the Assembly in that year except by leave of the Assembly or be otherwise provided. Now, to duplicate this rule in the for the private members' bills, the following rule was indicated in the in private members' the interim rules. In the interim rules, it read, a bill dealing with substantially the same subject matter may not be introduced more than once in the same annual session. Now that is broader than the other, well not so much broader, but it's different from the current rule 297. So I've included that rule into 297 because it reads differently. The one talks about where a bill has already been passed or rejected, you can't introduce a bill of the same substance. And the interim rule, and now the proposed sub-rule 2, indicates that in the same annual session, you can't introduce two bills that deal with the same subject matter. So, but because that is very strict, and if we think about Second Amendment bills, you know, environmental Second Amendment bill, judicial Second Amendment bill, we might run into a problem. Although we no longer have the problem of mixed bills, you might still find that a department wants to proceed with certain clauses in the 75 route and certain in the 76, so they introduce two bills, but it deals with the same substance. So we are proposing that we limit that to some extent. To say, first of all, that the rule does not apply to bills that were found to be constitutionally or procedurally out of order within the meaning of Joint Rule 161. So that goes for a bill that was introduced, perhaps in the wrong house. Then, of course, that bill is withdrawn, but now it can't be introduced again. So we have a problem there. And then also that the Assembly may grant leave for the bill to be introduced, despite it dealing with substantially the same subject matter. So it was introduced in the Assembly, and we are saying, no, there's something constitutionally wrong with this bill. It is withdrawn, it is corrected, then it can be introduced again. Or a bill is introduced and on the same subject matter, 175, 176, and then the Assembly can give that permission. So, Chairperson, what we would like you to know is whether it's necessary to keep sub-rule 2, because that is from the interim rules, it's totally different, or should we just remain with 1? Which simply talks about the rejection.
I've got a question on this. So what? Just quickly want to check what's happening.
But if we do include sub-rule 2, that we limit.
Oh, there's noise.
What's that command?
What? They behave like children, actually. When I was young, I was older than children.
Okay.
Jim, should I just maybe summarize again? So the question is whether we should include sub-rule 2 at all. That comes from the interim rules. It reads totally different. It has a different impact, so that's why we included it. But the question should it be retained at all. And if it should, then we propose that we just limit it to some extent to give a way around it.
First of all, perhaps just to say, with the, I think you asked what was by leave means, that the House may by leave, except by leave of the Assembly. And that by leave, my understanding has always been if any one member objects, then leave is not granted. So that's where it's different from a resolution. Leave requires the agreement of the But secondly, on sub 2A, which says that this rule does not apply to bills that are found to be constitutionally or procedurally out of order, such a bill will not have been passed or rejected, so this rule would not apply to it, in my view, because it hasn't been passed or rejected by either House at that point. If it's out of order, it just disappears from one actually covers all of what the other bit was what we're referring to. I think one covers it adequately.
I just wanted to understand what was the reason for the rule in the first place. It's something that I just missed that, because I wanted to have clarity. For instance, say for instance now we have an introduction of a private hospital on the regulating the security industry, something like that. And the private medical bill is introduced, it is chopped, guillotined, and it's out. Does it mean that the minister or the executive can introduce in the same year a bill for the same substance? From my understanding, I read it, that is what it means. Now, is that what we want? Or if it could also be the other way around. The minister introduces a bill, the opposition or other people feel that the bill is falling short, they're going through the process in the committee, they fail to succeed, they want to make the point and they bring a private member's bill to introduce a particular clause in a bill. And it's to regulate the private security industry. So I would like to know, why is it there? And is it constitutionally fair to limit if the people who have been elected by the people believe that it is important, can they not? Now, I know it can be voted by the majority, but then you're bringing in a majority vote again to prevent the introduction of a private member to bring a bill on the same substance. So I just wanted to ask. I agree with Mr. Hendrik that we should redevelop one. But I just wanted to know, what is the reason for it? Is there any constitutional reason for it? What underlies it?
Yeah.
The legal advice is whether that, following Mr. Killian's point, whether it is constitutional.
Mm.
Because any member may introduce a private member's bill. So who decides whether it's in the same substance? And whether that is, I mean, you would then be preventing a member from introducing a bill if it were on the same substance. Now, the Constitutional Court says that that's basically not allowed because...
I thought I'd advocate you would learn from some of us there on the count. At this moment in Parliament, which is a very complicated bill, is the infrastructure bill.
Yeah.
This bill creates a problem. Already for some of us, it interferes with the Constitution. But practically, when you go to one clause, when you give me the appropriation of land, that already says public works has to introduce something. And now we are saying, circumstances are saying, in the ruling party, we should push this bill through, you see. But public works have not yet finished appropriation. So they would be like same, you see, or same interest. I mean, like to say that public works for things that we don't bring through were appropriation. But you call the infrastructure people, you see, given that the economic development ministry is behind infrastructure. So already the same views are going to arise. The complexity, this is what this thing is going to do. It's going to give us an opportunity to move the bill with a view that says the rules do allow for some same views to be shared. That's where the complexity of the thing comes and the repetition of that particular work. So the infrastructural bill, as I'm saying, is in front of us now. But public works is not yet ready in relation to appropriation of land. So for me, this is the experience that is going to arise during this particular term, which deals with this particular clause. Is it going to help us to allow, or for me maybe to dance it, you can allow that to go ahead.
Well,
on even if the public court is not yet ready. Is it not the situation that you're going to get confronted? You see? And it's got huge implications. I'm asking. The infrastructural bill, if you look into it, it's got huge implications for change of government in South Africa. It interferes with how the executive relates. So, but things that are happening there, because you see, it cross-cuts about over a number of departments. It's in the nature of infrastructure. It cross-cuts in dealing with provinces, you see, up until to mayors. That's how powerful that bill could be. So it then means that it can reduce other executives to nothing. But you can't dissolve other executives, I mean like other ministries, because they're in existence through the constitution. But the implication is that the infrastructural bill has got enormous power. If we have got one example of then the J-Naidu incident, I mean then when we were the ministry of RDP, when we came into power, yes. But we had to abandon it because it was creating tensions. Now by law, we are bringing in the infrastructural bill. This clause gives them the power to be able to proceed parallel with all other departments. That's what this woman is able to do. If they say you will not, we just have to hear it. It will allow us, if members of that ruling party, we can just see how we can assist them. But it does. So the infrastructure, I'm just saying the infrastructural bill on the floor now. This thing, because I was raising issues of concurrent in terms of the constitution, you see. It's a commission. I'm just saying how much would you think about it? There's just one thing that I wanted to emphasize. I apologize for me to have gone out. We must not advocate go for what we have been saying, the underpinning of everything we do. No big party must be given power to change the operations of parliament without the speaker. The speaker made that point very clear yesterday in the House. The parties were saying we had a meeting. He says no body meets without me and make decisions without me. I'm the speaker here. He said it in the House. But the speech whips that made this kind of operation from the
against the rules.
He said to them, no. I'm the speaker here. It should never happen. And that 290 clause is giving that opportunity when he said that whips can meet and take decisions. We must be very emphatic. I want us to re-emphasize on that. Anything that comes to the running of the House should be only the speaker's decision. He will command the whips to meet, but whips can't just meet and sit and take decisions without the knowledge of the speaker. You see, that was a little bit of an embarrassing, but he made it clear yesterday that. But then our whips came in and they seem they have met in a corner. He said those are corner decisions.
I didn't support them because they were not part of the fact.
Yeah.
Ah.
Maybe I should first just go back to the fundamental question of why this rule at all. And it is quite simply meant to ensure that Parliament controls its business and makes the best possible use of the time available to it. So that if, for instance, a very controversial bill is passed, introduced by the executive, and a particular party or a particular member feels very, very strongly about this issue, then the week after this bill has been passed, after a journey of 6 months within Parliament, the member can introduce a member's bill seeking to reverse that, which shows, and then and now in terms of the procedures, that member's bill will have to go the full route of going to the committee, being discussed, coming to the House, second reading, where the House has already spent 6 months on that. The rule is saying that the House must make the best possible use of its time, and it should not not be applying itself over and over again to a particular issue because it's controversial or because some parties don't like it. So in a sense it's saying that one has to respect a democratic process, and at the end of that process the parties that were in opposition have to accept that the democratic process has taken place, and that by majority decision, democratically, a decision has been taken. So I think that's underlying it. It's a matter of managing and controlling the time of the House. At the same time, it must be possible, I think, to introduce an amending bill. But one would have to say then that in that case, the object of the amending bill would not have the same substance entirely as the original bill. So of substantially the same subject matter, which is the point that the option in sub 2, would probably be good to indicate that if there is an amendment, or the proposal to repeal must also be there. You must be able to repeal that bill again during the same annual session if you want to. It's just to try and manage the process, but it's difficult to manage, given that you should be able to repeal, you should be able to amend, but you may not introduce a bill of the same substance after it has been politically been through the mull for 6 months. I think that's the thinking behind it. And just in relation to what Mr. Boy was saying about the whips arrangements, the rules actually say that no whips arrangements can override the rules of Parliament. And that is, that's in the rules itself, yeah. Yeah.
That is what I
should
be able to show me in the world. You know what, I'm on record in the Chief Whip's where I have said, I don't want to be part of an arrangement. We have to operate within the rules. If we lift sequence for a city, we do it and we say, we are not going to have next week motions and member statements, etc. And rule 29 will not apply. The sequence will not apply. But it's a proper motion that we work on. And it was funny, but this discussion took place in the Chief Whip's Forum. I was not attending on Wednesday. I had other private family matters. And then I was surprised yesterday that they didn't take the advice that we had before. And that is challengeable. You cannot override the rules if you're the whip. The rules apply. And that's why I was so happy to ask to have heard that from
Chairperson, another issue is really a question that should be asked is what is the purpose and the implication of this rule? It talks about a bill that has been passed or rejected during the session. But what if, for example, a tribal member's bill has been introduced and it's before a committee and a government bill has already been, it's in the pipeline, it's with cabinet, and it also gets introduced at the same time? So there are those implications also for committees.
No, I was going to come to the same thing. It creates a difference. What informs and what processes are being followed? Do I sit at home and then come up with a bill and bring it? You see, it doesn't say so, even what the Constitution demands, that cabinet must introduce the bill. Where does it come in? And the costing that goes in, what do I want to ask? But you see, I still say that Mr. Banga yesterday raised very crucial issues. He said that bill is going to cost you 400 million. When would an individual have had that in the costing? Because he doesn't have that capacity for him to be able to push aside another bill that has been introduced by the executive with cost. I mean, how does you get it done? So it does bring clumsiness into the Parliament. Only now I agree with the member here that if you don't stick to rules, I mean, if you have rules that allow sloppiness in the chamber, you are going to see to the situation you're sitting in. You see some of the problems that we must care. We must not just care ourselves as members. We must also care the sloppiness from the side of the officials. This is what is going to happen here. It's only the officials that will end up coming to a conclusion that this team or this person has been given the same opportunity. You see, but in a party, in the African National Congress, it is proportional. It will be driven by our party policy. You see, in an individual party, it might be driven by a party. What will inform an individual to stand up and say that I must rewrite a policy when you don't even have a party backing, you see. But for us, we will be fighting with the executive, you see. So for me, it's a little bit of a very complex process that we want to allow ourselves and find that we have a rule that allows softness to creep in and people to become very powerful than the system itself. And I thought that's the most undercurrent thing that we are empathic about, that individuals must not be allowed in our system to rise and have more power than any other system. Unless you've got a particular write-up of how you introduce the whole process of a deal by individuals. Now it doesn't exist in the system. It only exists here in the party telling Canada that you can reverse and have the power to start the people. And for me, if it looks like that, it's like a clause that we will never be able to make use of, but it will become very problematic, or somebody can use it and abuse it at some particular stage. And I mean, most of what we suspected was a thing collaboration with the official who want to be noted and allow this process to cut in. So we must keep it.
I think that based on the arguments heard, I think it's probably best to erase the rule. I think to regulate it, I mean, the only way you could regulate it is to say something along the lines of the exact same bill may not be introduced twice in the same session, something along those lines. It's a question for me of managing, as you, Jay Burson, said so frequently, politics. I mean, the American system, you know, when Obamacare was passed, immediately the Republicans introduced bill after bill after bill, trying to repeal it and to amend it. And that's just politics. That's what they're mandated to do. So, you know, if that's what happens in South Africa, then that's the nature of politics. It's the same, really, it's the same with motions of no confidence. You know, parties want to move such motions, and they must take responsibility for that. So I don't think you can be too restrictive around these things.
Actually, I think that the point raised on the raise on the Bill of Peace is also very important. If you already have a members' bill before the House, while Cabinet is in the process of preparing the bill itself, then you can't prevent, or can you, prevent Cabinet from then introducing the bill because Parliament already has such a bill before it. And I think as long as no decision has been taken on the members' bill yet, I think the executive bill can be introduced. So if you have two bills in the system dealing with the same substance from different sources, and what would then happen, I think, would be that although the member would want to insist that members introduce the bill first, that the member's bill should be processed. I think politically it would be quite entitled to, for the committee and for the program committee when it schedules and everybody else, to say that that bill which has the best chance of success of being passed and of becoming law should be prioritized. So that in the process, I would think there can be nothing wrong with the committee, for instance, receiving the executive bill, saying to the member, we're going to put your bill aside to attend to the executive bill. And you as a member can then make your inputs into the bill that the executive has introduced. So the Parliament would be entitled, I'm saying, to assess for itself which has the best chance of success. There's the so-called rule of anticipation, which applies not just to bills but to motions as well. You cannot anticipate something that's already on the order paper. But in the case where the Speaker has the discretion to decide who has the best chance of success, has the biggest implication, the biggest impact, if you like. So a subject for discussion and a proposal for a decision by the House, draft resolution. The draft resolution has the bigger impact, and therefore the Speaker will allow the draft resolution rather than the subject for discussion, which has less impact. And I think it's along those lines that the institution itself would politically have to take a decision as to which one to deal with and which one to drop, if you like.
Do you agree that we either the first rule, because the first rule is talking about pass or reject, whereas the second rule is talking about introduction. So the pass or reject seems to be the more sensible one, firstly. So it's either a question of proceeding with the first option, 2971, or taking it out entirely? Which would be your opinion?
Are we saying all of 297 up?
No, either
2971
or removing the
I'm saying 2971
and leave
it there.
Or take out
297.
Yeah,
take
it out.
I
want
to take it all out.
Well,
might
be the definition if we take it out.
But it can be.
Chair, the implication
directly is that, for instance, to take a particular example, that example I gave you of a very controversial bill has been passed after 6 months. A party or a member doesn't like that outcome and immediately introduces identity bill to try and do the same thing all over again.
That's
if
they know the rules.
It would be advised
they understand.
But they couldn't do it if there's no
statute. They couldn't do it. That is my that there will be no harm for us to retain.
But only one.
The
The first point is on 298, that's only bills on the order paper. So the bills before committees are not affected by the lapsing at the end of an annual session. And unless the House decides otherwise, would be reviving or continuing by resolution of the House.
Okay.
Just 299. Withdrawal of bills. I think we discussed this previously.
Yeah.
It is a problem that committees sometimes, by an arrangement with the executive, pass a bill back to the executive. It leaves Parliament effectively. The cabinet re-engages, the minister re-engages. It's further consultation. They may then come up with something vastly amended, which is then just fed back into the committee as if nothing's happened. Whereas if there is an extensive consultation and an extensive rewrite, and then you cannot bring that extender, that adjusted thing, back in directly to the committee without the process of introduction and public participation processes and all the rest. In essence, what I'm saying is that it cannot be appropriate for the committee to agree to hand it back, a bill back to the executive. It has happened. And so withdrawal of the bill is the only way in which you can remove it from Parliament. Still, unless and until it is withdrawn, that bill is before Parliament. And Parliament may do only one of a few things. It may amend, it may pass or reject. And until it has done one of those things, that bill is before Parliament. There is no way that Parliament can take a different decision other than pass, amend, or reject. It cannot take a decision to that does something else. Constitutionally, that is the extent of Parliament's powers, the legislative authority. And what needs to be clarified, perhaps, and I think it's probably a political management process, is that a committee cannot take such a course. It could come back to the House. I think I suggested last time that where the bill has become an embarrassment, where the executive actually doesn't want to proceed with that bill either, then the best way is for the minister to use that minister's prerogative of withdrawing the bill. If the minister does not do so, and it becomes a political embarrassment to Parliament, because Parliament is sitting with the Child Justice Bill, and it's not dealing with it, the committee's not dealing with it, the media wants to know, the NGOs want to know, when are you going to deal with this? It's urgent. Critical for society, and Parliament has to respond somehow, and it can only say that the executive doesn't want us to proceed, and that's embarrassing. So at a given moment, it may be the appropriate thing to do is to prevent embarrassment either to Parliament or the executive, and that would be for the committee to do an interim report back to the House to say, because of A, B, C, D, we recommend that the minister be requested to withdraw the bill. And that decision is then taken by the House. The upshot of that is that the Speaker then communicates to the Minister, Mr. or Mrs. Minister, this is what the request is from Parliament, please consider and give back to us.
I think you hit that what I was concerned about. Within the to and fro and dancing around, the Speaker is the final decider. And nobody can, even if what the committee says, even if you reduce it in the House, it has to go to the desk of the Speaker with all the witnesses and whatever has been worked out. The Speaker must be the final arbiter of that particular process. Because it then helps to enhance his own capacity to be able to be aware of the type of decisions that are being made on the floor and what he introduces back to Parliament. So it then clearly says that the committee, whatever recommendations and things that it has identified, whoever they have met with the executive or from public hearings, can the Speaker be made aware. So that it then becomes his final decision to be able to say, with those ministers, with the leader of government, that let's arrive and withdraw this particular one. And that power not only rests with the committee, let it also involve the Speaker himself. So that if there's a political fallout or there's a public damage, he sits somewhere and is able to be able to come to a decision. Because if you decide to say that as a public, I mean, there you want to, you feel that you are being underwritten. I mean, or not much of what you have said has been taken to the court, taken to the Constitutional Court. Yeah, then say that the Speaker must get involved because he has to carry the cost. No committee will be able to carry that cost of going to court to defend that decision of why they would turn that particular bill. So it's important that the Speaker, with all other mechanisms that are talking about, the final act and the final decision maker, it's himself. If it goes back to the executive, if it goes there. And that's where the Rules Committee will also have to come in to capacitate that particular decision. So it's not a decision run loosely only by the committee, but the Rules Committee will have to be able to say what is their view. Do they agree or do they not agree? So you then strengthen the democratic role where collectives, wherever they are still able to arrive at the correct decision. But sometimes it's not just for the public, it damages the image of Parliament more than damaging the image of a particular individual. So the whole collective and their structures would have to be involved before that committee and that executive member arrive at a particular decision.
I've checked with Mr. Boyd. Are you suggesting the Speaker should take the decision or that the House should take the decision?
Yeah, I'm just saying that you tell him, and then because the House is convened by him, then he makes the decision. It shouldn't be a decision that gets enforced because the committee has come to that decision. Because sometimes committees do make a lot of reports and they don't know. But if a deal is controversial, got challenges, the Speaker has to be the final arbiter. And then he would then, on his own power, then either decide to take it to the House or think that we still can mediate and sort of the challenges that have arisen in that particular bill. But if you look at the info bill, that's why it has taken up for such a long time. If you look at the, what is one of the judicial legal records, it has taken up 15 years to sort out the issues in that particular bill. It's only now, even now, they're not even sure should they bring it to the House, you see. They would still think that the minister must be able to think if it's correct, you see. I'm just saying it's important that the Speaker, with what is in the House and in front of them, must come to him, because he runs the House. It's not individual committees. But he does sabotage it, because then he has done programming, he has prepared for this thing, that it has to go there. Somewhere it disappears along the line, because that committee has got to get that different thing. We must make sure that, as we have already said, that the Speaker must remain relevant within the systems of Parliament. We can't have an individual that doesn't know what is going. He will delegate. Then if he comes to say that, look, let's consult the executive and the leader of government, it should be his decision. It can't be made by a committee alone. Yes.
I think we should pursue that once the bill is in Parliament, is referred to a committee. The issue of the committee is to look at the bill and then make proposal, amendment, whatever they may be. But they can't simply quietly withdraw the, or not even withdraw anyway, because they never introduce it. It's just simply take it back to us without the House having a claim. Don't forget that even a decision of the Speaker becomes the Speaker only if the House has taken a decision. Then the Speaker becomes then the head and the communicator of the decision of the House. Opposed to the Secretary, the legal people, all those things. But it's important that we should close that there, the senior, because if we don't do that, we cause problems. Because then the minister can come to Ntabi say and say, "My chair, I know this thing is embarrassing me now. Quiet, take it out." They don't know, we have referred, say that in the committee, without even you refer it, you know the bill is gone. I don't think it's proper for us to do that. And it's important though that, I think we have differed with you on this one, but it's important though that always we put the interests of the institution just above any other interest. I know that children is very end. She has said one thing, that the interest of Parliament is more important than the interest of COPE. Because otherwise you can collapse Parliament if we're driven by the fact that now our parties must have more interest than parliament. Because there must be party democrats who can't avoid that. Therefore, working together with parties in parliament with respect and honor is a very important thing that we have to do.
Working together
with honor. No, not just working together because you meet in a corridor, you take a decision. And I think the speaker is really very, very upset, you know.
Yeah.
And take a decision somewhere, you come to the house to suspend him. He doesn't even know. And then I think they reprimanded you guys who are with.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what raised him, guys. I think it was raised by SN. And SN, I think, was under impression that the chief whip have communicated that to the speaker. When the speaker doesn't know what is presiding, they are at his house. And then it's very interesting, it's corridor thing, come here. I think the speaker was very emphatic on this. I like it because he saw all these things running away outside the rules of parliament. Because if another chief will come with anything that that's how things are done, you cause harm to any institution. So sometimes anyway, the failure of many countries fail of building institutions. That's failure of many countries, not because they're foolish, but they don't build institutions. Everything is subjected to elites. When elites goes, the institution goes.
That is the trouble,
Mr.
Chairman.
Yes,
No,
it's
institutional memory.
Let us go to Rule 300, discrepancies in relation of the bill. What is the purpose of this one? Of course, discrepancies. But what would be, is it still relevant?
It's in notes.
This is really a technical issue. So this is, and has to do with the translation of bills. The House deals with the official language version. There is a second version, which is the translated version, and the House looks only at the one language version. Now, if that translation is not 100% accurate, if there's a discrepancy in the second language version, then there must be ways of adjusting that. And based on ultimately the decision of the House, is the bill as passed in the first language version. So the rest is technical, just to bring the translated version into line with the language that was first to the House.
Advocate, you are fine? You're on track. Yeah.
It says here that if the proposal of the joint rules is accepted, if that's now the case, if the joint rules proposal is accepted, then that would make the rule obsolete. Is that the case? I should possibly know the answer to this, but I don't.
It's a joint rules proposal in the joint rules
is accepted. The Deputy Minister, Mr. John Porter, introduced a whole range of direct proposals on the question of the languages of bills. And I think that needs to be revisited. I think it was a very good proposal to try and clarify and simplify the whole process. Right now, the languages, is still facing problems. The requirement in the rules, and this is in the joint rules, is that the first half, the House in which the bill is introduced, may not go to second reading debate until the second language is available. And so there have been a number of cases where the second reading debate was delayed because the official translation was not yet available. And for that official translation for bills coming from the executive, the reliance is placed on the executive to provide that translation. But there are all kinds of problems, because if the committee amends the bill, let's say amends it extensively, then the version that comes before the House is different from the one as introduced, and the translated version also has to be adjusted and amended accordingly. So this creates all kinds of problems, not least when you're talking about members' bills. If a member introduces a bill in an individual capacity, there is still a requirement at this point that must also be translated, and that they can't go to second reading until the translated version is available. You'll see that one of my notes down below there is that in the case of members' bills, maybe the option should be to amend the joint rules to provide that in the case of a members' bill, the translated version is only required after the passing of the bill in the first House,
in which it was introduced, so that if it gets rejected in the first house, that language of that translation requirement and the costs involved fall away.
Possibly.
And I think that that would be practical.
Absolutely.
Let us then go back to what is our way forward, and this is our school. And the debate was wonderful.
It was wonderful. We had fun. Oh, was it? We were so good.
And there was confusion. Can we look at perhaps adding a rule like similar to the one in for statements that specifies on which day statements are, but then says unless the programming committee decides otherwise, that it won't, it will then be excluded from the program on that day. So it avoids having to suspend the rule every time there's a decision that there won't be any motions. As it is now, if there's no statements in the House as agreed in the programming committee, it's fine, there's no suspension needed. But that's not the case with motions. If we can perhaps look at a rule similar to the statements.
You do?
No.
I think you are very happy with it.
Motion is published in accordance with the rules, it is on the order paper, and there is no uncertainty. So I don't want to bring in new rules and some other sneaky provision somewhere that we can just have some other lovely agreement somewhere in a passage to uplift the
But she are not proposing what you did yesterday. What is your talk? You are proposing that we amend the rule, put a rule that allows us to deal with the question of motion. Because the statements are very clear. The rule is a motion statement. But it is said that it would be a good idea for the programming committee when it meets. They take a decision, everyone, and then they can then resolve it, whether it is tomorrow or the motion or not. At the conclusion of yesterday, of corridor does nothing. But also, you must avoid one thing. I always take a view that if a rule is always suspended, get rid of that. Because that must assist you. You must let the affair, you mustn't really simply suspend the rules because of the age of the time. Because otherwise, you are going to suspend every rule of time. Where you think that the rule is inconvenient for you, to suspend the rule. I think it's assisting that the political decision must be made in the programming committee that next week Tuesday there will be no motion. And every member of parliament knows about that in terms of party. In fact, I think that would be very useful for us. Rather than the approach that we did yesterday, I think it's a good idea. But also, imagine suspend the rules every night.
I think everybody's covered by the draft amendment rule,
yeah.
Which
says that members must be given the opportunity on each sitting day of the House to give notice of a motion, unless the program committee agrees otherwise in respect of a particular day. That's what the new draft says.
That is what it
means.
Okay.
Yeah, but I just want to tell you, it wasn't a corridor decision. Yes, but he is naughty.
We believe anyway it was not a decision of another, such as that you carried a flag somewhere. It was a good decision though, but you wanted to use the house as your conduit of corridor talk. That's why we rejected.
No, we accepted it.
No, you don't reject it. But
the chief of the ANC stood up and said,
but
that
was rejected.
No. He said we reached an agreement.
The chief has simply rejected.
Yeah.
But let us go back then, colleagues. What needs to be done? And then we have agreed at a political level that what we have been doing for the last 6 months, maybe, or 7 or 8 or a year, it should find its way to the subcommittee. From the subcommittee, then it goes to the Rules Committee. And then the decision is that we should be able to do this and pass this at the end of our term. Next year, April, or whatever date that we dissolve Parliament, we should have passed this. This rule will fail no longer for us, but for the Julie who's coming next year. And Tabisa Nyame with the cap pension, he has to decide. And then Honorable Ellis and the former honorable members. And then I think we should really design now a clear procedure and processes that will take us to our ultimate aim. All these are just processes. You know. The real aim that we want to achieve is that Parliament should adopt the rules. And then they become the rules of Parliament. Of course, they'll be amended. There's no doubt here and there. They may be amended. And then that's what we should really do. Therefore, parties, they have to stick to what we have been saying all along, that parties themselves internally, they should be able to resolve some of the difficult questions where we made some options. You know, we spoke about the possibility of plenary, mini plenaries, which I think is a good idea to have mini plenaries too. And then attend the public committees, have some motion that you always move. In fact, I think, Perrin, you know this motion that you want us to read in the House and in the next city we debate. I think there are more than 1,000 things that we never debated anyway. And then what are we doing exactly in Parliament? Because these members of Parliament also are unproductive. They just waste time for the sake of wasting time. It would be a wrong way of doing that. Far better to allow them space to go into constituent one. And I think we're making a point there then that we are proposing that something in those motions, generally speaking, should be having a discussion in plenaries in a clustered form. We have clusters in Parliament. Then you take the motion by Tabuse, women abuse, it goes there. There will also be other motion, of course, that will need to plenary, you know, and they had a chamber instead. We have, of course, should be motion bill of rape, as the information. But all motions that are put by colleagues, really, every issue, is in every issue. I'm not sure how many you have put forward. I think that, to me, is a critical point that you must. Because we are saying that we are giving space to be very creative and innovative, bearing in mind that sometimes we can be over-zealous and over-enthusiastic and lose the real issue that you want to do for Parliament to accept the rules and parties simply delay them forever because they are not happy with some certain element. And then I think this is an issue that we have to deal with, and of course, another issue that I thought was very interesting one, general, that we are still, of course,
motion to president. And you know that we have taken a view that that should be a motion to presidency, no longer to be the president, because there is nothing like a motion to question to president. It's a very important point. I think we are not going to win the argument for every month for presidency questions. We are not going to win because people, they wouldn't understand that anyway, it would be the same numbers. But because once every month, they think that every month for 12 months you're in parliament working. But if we don't do that, we don't do that. But in the minds and perception of police, they think that's what we want to do. And then generally, they are not going to accept that type of approach. And then the trust in team itself must find a better route. What is the better route that you want to take? And then in 2 months, if you don't have 2 months, then you retain what is there already. Is it what you want to do? We have to apply our mind. My view that we must not lose almost 1.5 years of work because of one clause.
Yeah.
And then the entire thing is rejected because we can't just move on one clause. I think we'll be able to shoot our leadership if we do that. The better thing that ourselves must say, now this one we can live with it. But with the intention to change it as we move. I think we should buy time on some of the areas. I don't think we want to go with our parties at the front and thing because it'll be defeated anyway. Therefore it won't be a good process for us to do. Therefore I think we must consider that seriously. Whether we retain the status quo on that question or we took a view that at least once in 2 months if president has come here. Because truly I think it's given though that we may have many other parties next year. There's no natural that parties that are in parliament will disappear. We still have one or two members. They will choose one member, but one or two will be there. And of course, even two in COVID, I'm not sure what's going to be there. But generally, I think.
Is there one or two more or one or two there? Sorry.
There, they will try to maneuver. But the point that we have to do that. And then we should then design now. And then we have identified many other critical areas that you need some discussion and discuss, but the team, general supporting team, they will sit down. And then we'll identify all the areas. There were options. And then there were options. Okay. There were options that we were putting in. And then I guess that when we have not taken a definitive view on it, we should be able to capture this. Because then make it easy. Okay, because our duty was to facilitate the meeting for people to discuss their rules and also to agree on that. And I think we should take that view on that. And there are a lot of work that we have done in the really. It would be a sad story that we want to die for one aspect of a rule, for one thought about motion of no confidence, despite the fact that it's called a rule. I think the team then is going to work on a motion of no confidence. It's just the how part of it now that would assist us by next week to help it on that. If we meet then on Thursday, do propose that we should meet again Thursday at 9 next week. And then the cleanup process, you know. But I would hope that the staff then will then propose the process that will take us to the subcommittee general. A program that will take us through the subcommittee and possibly next year, I guess, in the National Assembly. Because unless we design that ourselves, we are going to miss the opportunity to conclude their work. And therefore, we should design it ourselves. I guess it's possible for us to design that. It's a proposal, really. People will create it. But our view though that colleagues who are here themselves, they must assist us to persuade their parties. And that we don't go there and we hope that ourselves as we are here, we are almost understanding each other very well. And then if party comes in to change everything that we have worked on. And then because I thought that any leadership and a prudent leader would always touch the base with the party, that the party is carrying through. They will reject some of the things. No, we don't like this. But we persuade them and move on. I think that's what we wanted to achieve. I think Julie Terra is very happy now.
Jefferson, if I look at the program that was adopted for next year, first term, I just wanted to say that we will probably, just for now, for planning purposes, it is important that we take note that Parliament will be sitting for 4 weeks, with the opening on the 13th, and will be running up to the 13th of March. So your reference to April is not applicable. We will have to conclude and have it adopted. The last possible sitting day is the 13th of March for adoption of the rules. So that means our process must be that we have to go to a subcommittee of rules. Well, probably with even in that first couple of days after the SONA address, that we can call a subcommittee of the rules. And you know, formally, even if we move with some chapters to submit it to them to say that, you know, but we will have to really plan, because otherwise if we miss that critical time, I'm so worried, Jefferson, that if we look at what happened with the Honourable Deputy Minister's report, it was concluded, it was right then, and it seems that people just put away and file lots of hours of work at the end because that final push and political will is not there. And we can't do that because then we're going to start on a slapdash foot, irrespective of who the individuals and the body will be, who will be in the civil parliament. They will start and it's just going to go down one way. We will not turn this institution around ever if we don't get the rules adopted and, you know, reviewed, adopted, and implement. Thank you,
Chair. It would seem to me that we've got to try and persuade Johnny DeLalla to call his subcommittee together for a week in January so that we can actually finalise that work.
Absolutely.
So that the final committee can be called to actually pass those rules the very first week of February and can go to the House.
Yeah, I've always raised the point, and I'm still very concerned about the input from political parties, because this really and truly could be the stumbling block at the end of the day. I mean, I know that the Democratic Alliance is holding regular meetings, they are making proposals. What do we do with the proposals that come from the ANC, from the DA, from COPE and so on? Do we as a committee sit down and discuss those and put them into the final block? And when is that going to take place? I mean, that's before the Johnny DeLalla Commission, a committee. But if the political parties, I mean, at the end of a session, at the end of a year now, if the political parties haven't done this work, when are they going to do it? And then what is the process if they haven't done it, come along and say, but we haven't had a chance to look at these yet, we can't pass. I'm really worried about how we deal with input or non-input from political parties.
I think what we need to say then is as a subcommittee, we will have to get feedback from parties before the end of the year or by no later than, say for instance, Monday the 13th of January, so that we can then, in the course of the week of the 20th January, have our task team and then have, when Parliament's committee week officially opens, week of the 27th, the subcommittee of the rules. So as Sybil has indicated, that we then move on daily, etc., with that during that week of the 27th of January, before, so that we have adequate time to, as a committee, do our preparatory work, to call a rules committee, etc., etc. So I just thought it was important that we just plan realistically.
Okay, but I think Karen and the team will sit down and discuss it. And then just give this sub team some time again next year while we get this. basic health. And then because in other areas there was language improvement, in other areas savings and so forth. General is about 10 physical areas that we have to lift them up. And then we keep options and this, and then we put it. And we then do organize our work, so we're not able to prevent this. Not only, not the core focus, you know, the groups and people who are interested in this. Not everyone in the focus is interested in this. When you presented this in the caucus, they took a look and you guys go and do it. And then those who are interested must be invited. That's why we invited the minister to do it. And the other people on that. That's what we are going to do. And then the whole study group is set for the 7 meetings in the AIDS side to come up on this. If there are new developments, if you are unable to persuade them, they may come with some development here and there. It would not be nice. And then of course motion of no confidence no longer issue. That is a bigger issue I was going to delay everything, now not on an issue. I think that's why it's in the but Speaker 76 finalizes the thing, bring it to us. And if we do that, I think we'll make it change, I think so. I think parties are very happy to be though. Because we're talking about also opening and the state of the nation in a new way of trying to do things. And
Chairperson, I'm just want to remind us that there is also the issue of the joint rules. I mean, that's also got to be adjusted. So it's not just a case of the rules committee meeting, the joint rules committee has also got to meet. So I would imagine that if Johnny actually needs to be persuaded to meet prior to the 27th, which referring to Julie, I think that we need to probably, if we can get Johnny to meet earlier than that week, so that the Joint Rules Committee can also get to meet on the issues that need to be developed there.
No, but I think the Joint Subcommittee are these members. There are some few parties on it, yeah. But these members themselves are members of the Subcommittee, that's what we wanted to achieve. That we don't go to another committee, the new discussion,
yeah.
Everything that you have already made proposal. Because you are going there to make proposal.
Okay.
Once you join a breath, some of this area, then maybe other parties, maybe Freedom Fund, and maybe other and other people, or religious process. But I think the view here that we should do, after next week, we finalize this, and hopefully, the supportive staff here, services, we find it, and we give to our is our draft today. We propose that it doesn't bind anyone, doesn't kill anyone. We give to all parties. They look at it. They reject it. It's important for a week to be every week for the party, chief week or senior week. They do have a copy format. And then the big, of course, if you speak another official in parliament, it will help. And Johnny there, we're not running away from it, but we want to speed up today. That will speak himself, you know, he's starting to read what is being proposed. And otherwise we wait forever, it's not going to last. And then that's what we'll suggest.
I just wanted to say, I can't speak, obviously nothing, the planning is to be obviously finalized, but I would imagine that once the task team has completed its work, as you say, the parties will get complete copies. The idea of then the subcommittee meeting in sort of mid-January next year when the committee starts would be to start with an agenda of the basically party inputs, the options, the main issues that the parties need to decide on, and obviously any other issues which parties may have to put before the subcommittee. I just want to say that I think from and to respond to Ms. Killian, what I hope least from the part of the side of the task team. I know the speaker is very keen on this process, on this process of reviewing the rules. So I think with his support, I really hope that this can be finalised.
If it is possible, that Karen, when you look with your team, I think you are more competent with your team on the problem. We must also be giving parties limit time. Because otherwise parties, if they think that you got 20 years to come, is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have to say to them, from now until this,
would have tried parties, would have made my submission to Anthony's submission. Otherwise, it won't move.
Absolutely. We must give him a deadline.
And then the speaker really is taking a hard view on this matter, generally, and the caucus and everyone. This matter must be concluded by the end of this term. And then I think it's a good idea, because as we have said, the speaker is moving down. But some of the reason why some of the things ended up dying, that the speaker themselves at the time, they were not decided what they wanted to do with this thing. And then they wanted to decide the process, but I think the speaker wants this thing to be concluded. I think it's going to assist that. It worked to me during whatever time parties will agree for the subcommittee to meet anyway. Because every party is taking serious and sound like this. In my view, there's no political problem in terms of meeting. And then parties will agree these members to meet anytime they want to meet. And I think the only problem will be how do we plan ourselves now. And then show the parties also, even the biggest party is like there are only 10 people interested in the vote.
And then you'll find even fewer in some of the
others. Generally speaking, they've got no interest in discussing what is true. But they must be taken through just to ensure that they are happy about the process and everything. Hence, it's how you say you can't be calling those subcommittees. But they start to go to the A, and put this thing and move on to the week part. And it's adopted there. And I think. Yeah, then to me, if we do that then by next week, then when we meet, we'll have a problem. And then we'll also pick up and list issues that are beneficial. My view has been always that we must not be too conservative ourselves in such a way that we are not assisting Parliament to move forward because we are scared that we'll be shut down. The options are there. If we put options, we're putting options. Then the party will take an appropriate decision. They may reject both of them, but would have engaged them, they will apply their mind. Because if they don't apply their mind, then if you go to parties, say, no, discuss everything about the group. They were doing that sometimes. Even yesterday, they discussed matters, what is informed in this thing. General podcast discussion doesn't take up any. We put the rules there and they discuss in terms of the group. I think that's what we should do. One of the members of the system is persuading parties behind the
scenes.
I'll get this joke and make sure we're
behind the scenes. Say, do you have fun?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have fun? Starting the rules then is very difficult. You know, Julia, that there was not a senior professor except Professor Marek, who was with the President of the group.
I know.
No other professor, of course, the professor Flower at the time, whatever. But no other person, nowhere anyway, that knows how to trust him. Then the skill that is here is a kind of student, and that's the person who trusts properly. So,
you've done a good job. You really have.
You've not done a good job yet.
No, I know.
But it's been very good.
Okay, you haven't done a very good job yet, but maybe this time next week we can.
We'll try to improve. And I think the liquor services we are happy. Please assist us then to put things together and then give it to us when we look at it. Parents, you're fine. I'm told that there's lunch.
I think lunch is at, I'm not entirely sure what time lunch is, whether it's 1 or 1:30.
1 or 1:30. Okay, but remember they can go and you can come and enjoy lunch. Okay. Only the time of food can be good. And then, you know what I'm doing? Yeah, okay. Don't mind it now.
I am, I'm getting worried. Since I retired, I'm putting on weight, but it's not doing any good.
That's not a good idea.
Not a very good idea on that.
Okay, colleagues, I think that is the one.